Our scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 31, verses 9 through 16. Psalm 31, verses 9 through 16. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I'm dealing with people in crisis situations, there is one phrase that I have come to avoid at nearly all cost. And that phrase is our sermon title. I know how you feel. I can sympathize. I can empathize. And even if I feel like I have been in a similar situation, I cannot know exactly what another person is feeling. I cannot know another person's exact emotions. We're entering Holy Week. This week reminds us of the events of the final week of Jesus' earthly life and ministry. Today is Palm Sunday / Passion Sunday. And just a quick review of the week's events. On Sunday, Jesus enters into Jerusalem to the praises of the people, declaring him king. Thursday night, Jesus will be betrayed by one of his disciples. 10 others will run for their lives, leaving Jesus to face his enemies. And one who vowed that I will go with you to the death will deny that he even knows him. On Friday, the crowd, instigated by the religious leaders, will choose a criminal over Jesus. And Friday afternoon, Jesus will be dead, executed on a cross. But this week, we're just going to conduct our business as usual for the most part. Yet this week for Jesus was a 6-day walk to the cross. Beginning with the triumphal entry to Jerusalem, Jesus knows that each moment brings him closer to pain, closer to suffering, closer to a long death process. I don't know how often you think about it, but it took Jesus 6 hours to die. And you know what the real weird part about that is? Weird's not a good word. But it was actually grace to Jesus that he died in 6 hours. Death on a cross usually takes days. But Jesus was coming closer and closer with each day to that dreaded moment. You ever wonder what was going through Jesus' mind? You ever figure Jesus says, oh boy, I get to die on the cross. You know, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven in 36 hours. Man, you know, I'll be ready for heaven in 36 hours. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Can we really possibly imagine what Jesus must have felt? Can we possibly imagine the emotional and spiritual torment he battled? Although we cannot enter Jesus' mind, Jesus' heart, Jesus' emotions, I believe Psalm 31, 9 through 16 offers some insight into the likely feelings of Jesus as he marched steadily to the cross. So as we remember Jesus' final week on earth and his march to the cross and his anguish on the cross, listen to the scripture lesson again, and this time I'll read it from the NIV. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed with anguish and my years with groaning. My strength fails because of my afflictions and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am the dread of my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Does this psalm not describe what Jesus' emotional state very likely would have been? A succinct description of this passage is that the author is in utter torment, extreme torment, yet the torment does not diminish his trust in God. Jesus is experiencing the most intense week of his earthly life, yet even in the face of torture and death, Jesus trusted the Father who had sent him for this very task. Jesus didn't want to endure this week, I'm convinced, but he was going to finish the mission that his Father sent him to accomplish. For those who may be familiar with this incident, forgive me if I massacre names. But during the Olympic marathon race in 1968, John Aquari was running for Tanzania. And although he didn't finish the race, he won the hearts of many and became a hero to many who saw him run. Aquari was injured in a fall in the very beginning of the race. And most runners would have dropped out in defeat. You know, once you fall, the race is over. I mean, that's it. But he had fallen. He had been pretty badly injured. Most of us would have dropped out of the race and gotten medical treatments. But on this cool night in Mexico City, Aquari got himself up quickly, had his wounds bandaged, and he kept on racing. He kept on running. He kept running even though he was miles behind. Finally, more than an hour after all of the other runners had finished, Aquari limps into an empty stadium, except for just a few people that were cleaning up and the like. Slowly, he jogged the final lap and he crossed the finish line. Sports commentator Bud Greenspan did happen to still be in the stadium, and he watched this incident, and so he was so intrigued by this finish that he went up to this physically depleted young man, this injured young man, and asked him, "Why did you put yourself through this? Why?" In a quarry reply, quote, "My country did not send me 9,000 miles to start the race. They sent me to finish." End quote. Jesus, completely innocent, did not want to bear the punishment for the sin of humanity. Yet the Father sent Jesus to show us who and what God is through the life of Jesus. And then through Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus would suffer for our punishment and shame and defeat our final enemy. Jesus enters what we now call Holy Week, knowing he was to finish the objective that he had started. As I consider the high cost of our salvation, I have to take a look in the mirror and I have to ask myself a question. Jesus was totally committed to me. He was totally committed to you. Am I really totally committed to Jesus? Sometimes I like to brag to Jesus. Of course I am. I became a preacher. I gave my life to you. I gave my livelihood to you. I gave where I would live to you. Of course I'm totally committed. But am I really? Are you? If we've accepted Jesus' salvation, Jesus calls each of us into his work in some form. Are we with Jesus through thick and thin? That's not really an easy question to answer. I want to say yes. But I remember Peter. Remember Peter? I will follow you to the death. And you know, I believe Peter meant it. I don't believe Peter was just blowing smoke. I believe in that moment, Peter meant what he said. But then in the heat of that night's battle, Peter froze. And when Peter froze, he denied that he ever knew Jesus. One disciple has already betrayed him. 10 have run for their lives from the garden. And now Peter has denied him. Does Jesus not feel what the psalmist said? I have become the dread and the scorn of even my closest friends. In 1519, Hernando Cortes landed at the site of the present-day city of Veracruz, Mexico. The Spanish explorer came with the commitment to conquer this land for his country. Now, as I'm giving this example, I know we don't really advocate conquering lands anymore, but you've got to remember this is 500, 600, you know, nearly five, this is about 500 years ago. So take that in context. But the Spanish explorer came with a commitment to conquer the land for his country, and two previous Spanish expeditions had failed to make a settlement in what is now Mexico. Cortez was content on being the first to succeed, and so to make sure his men were on board with him, guess what he did? Any of you history buffs, you remember what he did? He burned his 11 ships. Retreat was no longer an option. We're either going to take this land or we're going to die. And so 763 soldiers and sailors conquered 5 million. I want to ask you this morning, have you burned your ships? Have I burned my ships? Are we fully committed to Jesus? Or do we maybe keep a little lifeboat tucked away back here? Are we holding back something that we will not commit to Jesus? Jesus is calling us to burn our ships and place our trust in him. First, he showed us by example in the garden. Jesus asked that the cross be taken away from him, but he sought not his will, but the Father's. He trusted the Father in the midst of a horrifying future and tormenting emotions in the present. The psalm described Jesus' possible perspective in the midst of the distress. The psalmist proclaimed, remember, all of this distressing stuff the psalmist has described. And then he says, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Burning our ships can be scary. Trusting Jesus with all of our life can be intimidating. Yet when our time on this earth is done, the only thing among the many that have clamored for our trust, only one thing is going to matter, and that's Jesus. A pastor wrote about a saintly elderly woman who was gradually losing her memory. Details began to blur. Throughout her life, however, she had always loved the Word of God, and she had committed a large part of it to memory. And her favorite verse was 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For I know whom in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Time moved on. She became confined to bed in a nursing home. Her family knew she would never leave. And as they visited her, she would still quote verses of Scripture, especially 2 Timothy 1:12, but with the passing of time, even parts of that verse escaped her memory, to where she would say, I know whom I have believed. He is able to keep what I've committed to him. Her voice grew weaker, and the verse grew shorter. What I have committed to him. As she was dying, her voice became so faint, family members had to bend over to hear the whispered words she would muster. And at the end of her life, this part of the verse was left. Him. She whispered it again and again as she just stood at the threshold of heaven. Him. 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 I'm so glad I know that relationship this morning. Life is uncertain. And I'm glad that all of the stuff that society tells me is so important doesn't really matter. What matters is that because I have placed my trust in Him, when I stand on the threshold of eternity, Jesus, the one who gave it all for me, will usher me in. Do you trust Jesus with all of your soul? With all of your heart, with all of your life? In the end, nothing else matters. And you know, we can trust Jesus with our hearts and our souls and our lives because, unlike me, I can't say I know how you feel. Jesus can. Jesus can. Jesus suffered the ultimate in betrayal. He suffered the ultimate in pain. He suffered the ultimate in abandonment. He suffered the ultimate in disappointment. He suffered the ultimate in fear. Whatever emotion we experience, Jesus has been there. Jesus knows how we feel. Jesus knows who we are. And Jesus gave it all for us. Can we give less than our all to Jesus? Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, Though we may try, we know we cannot comprehend what this week is for you. But Lord, I just pray for all of us that in some way, however you would communicate with us this week, that we would be open, that even though we will go to work, even though we will conduct our business, that this Holy Week will speak to us more than a single night of a worship service, as important as that is. May we remember what this day begins. May we remember what this week entails. Because those days between the triumphal entry and the celebration of Sunday, you went through so much. May you give us just a glimpse of how much you gave for us, that we might be motivated to give our all to you. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as it is.